If you open her WhatsApp, it says Anna Jordan. But if you get a song from her, it says Anique. Ooh, what a name, Anique. So I thought let's speak to Anique because she's got a song to introduce to us today. Anique, how you doing?
I am doing very well. This is Anique speaking. If you want me in Afrikaans, then it's Anna.
Anna.
Yes.
But it's very romantic. How do you get to Anique? Do you like the products or what?
Yeah, no. I think my mom was very creative when she had me. Because that's a given name. I think my full name is Anna Katerina. So that sounds more romantic.
It sounds Russian.
Yeah.
Anna Katerina. You just need Anna the attitude.
Yes. without.
To go with that. So where's the music come from? Is this now genetic or what?
The music, I think, comes from God, essentially. But, you know, there's some music in my family, but none of them actually pursued that career. So I was always the odd one out. There's many like sports and tug of war and doing horse riding and stuff in my family. But I was the odd one out doing all. I just wanted to paint a picture and sing a song. So I think God decided this one. I'll give her the arts.
Okay, but when you're the only one who does that kind of thing, you get the conversations where they say, you need to get a proper job, you know?
Exactly.
You need
to- That was exactly the thing. No, I asked my mom and dad when I wanted to go study in Stellenbosch, I said, I want to do drama with some musical theater. And they said, no, you have to have a proper job one day. And then I studied BSc and did physiology honors. And then I was a musician for 13 years.
Because are you the kind of person or the kind of artist who can't help it, that you have to create, that it's something
you
that if you don't do it, you'll be all, I don't know, frustrated.
Yeah. Bottled up. Yeah. No, that's exactly that. I think for many artists, it's like that. And I have many friends that are artists by heart. But then they have normal jobs and they do their jobs, but they're so frustrated. So I'm just so thankful that God let me actually do the thing that I love.
Okay, but how did you discover it? Because obviously if it's not in the family at all, how did you discover, oh my word, this is something I have to do?
No, my grandmother played the organ in the church, but I think it skipped a generation because her three sons didn't do it at all. They just played rugby and did all the manly stuff. But I played music from a very young age. Actually, I had a mentally challenged sister and we listened to music all the time and she loved music and that's the only thing that calmed her down. So I think I learned to love it for just what it is and also what it can do. It can calm people. It can make you happy. It can make you sad. It can express something that's in your heart. So, yeah, I think I just fell in love with it at a very early age.
Okay, but there's a huge jump from I like music, I listen to other people making music, to you not even only singing music, but creating your own stuff. Can you still remember when you started or why you started experimenting originally?
I think I have my dad to thank for that because I have a picture of us sitting at the piano when I was, I think, like 1 year old. And, yeah, I think he just put me there and played the notes for me and I started to like the sound, I guess. I wrote my first song. I taught myself to play the piano after that. So at 4 years old, I think I was playing songs and using both hands and I think that developed my ear quite well. But I think at six, I made up a song called The Palace. And my parents recorded it and I still have it on a VHS video somewhere. And then you can hear my dad said he can see the picture. He can see me walking into the palace. And then when the bells are ringing, it's like gong, gong. From a very early age. I think, I don't know. I didn't decide. It was just there.
Okay, and then what about your walk with Jesus? Because you sing about what comes out of your heart, and what you're singing about today to me must mean that you love him. So how did you meet him?
Yes, yeah, I grew up in a Christian home, very traditional, and I think somewhat religious, more than I don't want to say anything against anyone, but I think I grew up with, this is what you have to do. and this is what we do. So more out of tradition. But at university, I had a friend, and she met Jesus in her second year, and her life turned around completely. And I thought the church that she went to was like a sect or something, because they held their meetings was like 2 hours long, and they worshiped for 1 hour. I'm like, what?
Like, unfathomable.
Yeah. And I didn't understand that, and I didn't, but I saw the change in her life, and I saw the love that she had in her eyes for me when she looked at me, even when I like scoffed at her for what she's doing and how she's doing it. And then I think for a year, probably, she prayed for me. Then one December, we went to Langebaan with her, me and a friend. And then the one day she asked, "Don't you want Jesus to baptize you with the Holy Spirit?" And I was like, "Oh, well, I do like what I see in your life, so let's try that." And then my life changed completely. It was like I was walking on a cloud. People asked me, "Did you meet a boyfriend or something?" And I said, "Yes, his name is Jesus." And I was very weird for that first while, very zealous. But yeah, that's when I met the Lord. And that was the first time that scripture really came alive to me. And yeah, I started my personal relationship with Jesus and with Holy Spirit. So yeah, I think that's where it all started.
Okay, but before you meet him, you do have preconceived ideas of who he is, not specifically what religion is, but even, you know, that maybe that he's judgmental or that he weighs you the whole time, whatever.
What
surprised you when you now actually met him and got to know him that you thought, oh, this is not how I thought he was?
Yes, the grace that he has for us and the mercy, not giving us what we deserve and then also giving us what we don't deserve, because I don't deserve anything. I was so far from him in my heart, maybe with my mouth or whatever. I was close or said I was close, but yeah, just the grace that he had. I always thought he was going to, if I know I'm doing something wrong, I was very conscious of it. Like I know this is the wrong thing. And I always thought that he would come with a stick and beat me until I got on the right path. But he is not like that. He comes in the most gentle way. He nudges us. Sometimes he has to like give us a push or something. But just the gentleness and the, yeah, almost the kindness of God really surprised me, because I always thought he was an old man with a stick, just keeping the sheep in line. But yeah, and I really got to know his heart.
I mean, that's what the scripture says. It's kindness that leads us to repentance.
Yes, to repentance.
It's something that we wouldn't do. I mean, we're not kind with ourselves, and
exactly.
And somehow we do this thing where we project this on Jesus, that we feel that because we know what we deserve, he shouldn't be kind with us.
Exactly.
So I think, does it do to your heart then when you realize that he did, that he was, that he hadn't pushed you away?
Yes, I think it makes us soft for him. Like, he's soft for us. His heart is soft for us. And I think, without guilt tripping us, he's actually showing us, this is what I have for you and this is how I want to be with you. So I think that just melts our hearts, and it takes away all the walls that we build to actually not to be close to him, because he's so holy. And yeah, that's the two parts of him. He's loving and he's kind, but he's also holy. And I think when we come close to him, the road gets a little bit smaller, or it gets
narrower,
not as narrow. It's narrowing down. So the closer you get to him, the less stuff you can take along that you need to lose along the way.
There's no space for the baggage. Now, this past week, I must say, it was very interesting. I read a thing that said that we don't want to be more holy because we're biting down, and with determination, we are now going to sin less. The whole conviction was, it's because we react to his love. This thing that his love overwhelms you, it overwhelms your sin, it overwhelms your rebellious heart and your selfishness and all of that, that it's his love that convinces you to stop it. Is true.
Exactly. It's very true. I think also a thing for me was identity. And I think that's why I love this music so much that we sing over the kids. It's establishing your identity in Christ, because when you know who you are, you pray differently. You do stuff differently. You speak differently to other people. I guess identity establishes who and what you are and how you conduct yourself.
Let's get to Kaleidoscope, because obviously this was also part of your whole musical journey. Just give me a little of that story as well.
Yeah, so I was at university and this guy called me out of the blue and said he saw me singing in SER. I don't know if you know what SER is. All the rezzers that compete against each other in a singing competition. And then he asked me, he was in a band called Kaleidoscope, and then everyone invited me to come and see this band, and the band was from Simonsberg. That's a raise in Stellenbosch. And I was like, who wants to go see a band from Simonsberg? I don't. So please leave me alone. I don't want to go see. And then they invited our SER group to come and watch them. And I was so surprised, and I fell in love with their songs and their music, and the two guys' voices went so well together. And I love harmony. I love how two people's voices can just, like, you know, melt into each other and make this beautiful sound. And then he asked me, don't you want to come and sing with me at this thing at the beach? Because the one guy can't, he has to write a test and I don't know what. And then I went to sing with this guy, his name's Juba, and we had the same surname. I was like, oh, this is cool. And we sang, and it just happened. Our voices went so well together. I don't know, maybe we're family far removed or something. But yeah, our voices went so well. And then after a few years, the guy that sang with him needed to go to Namibia to go and work there. And he asked me, don't you want to be in this band with me? And I was like, what is happening? And I was asking my parents, can I just sing in a band for 1 year after university? I'll finish my honors and everything. And then they said, oh, it's fine. We'll still pay for you or everything.
Support.
And then, yeah. And then it turned into 13 years of touring around the country. We moved to Pretoria for 6 years. We stayed there and just did shows. We knew nothing about the music industry. We just bundu bashed our way through. And yeah, the Lord was so good for us, because we could make a living out of it for 13 years and toured and everything. And then in COVID time, I felt that that's part of the not hitting me with a stick that I discovered of God, because I felt a nudge in my heart that I needed to leave the band. Because he was calling me somewhere else, and I didn't know where, I didn't know what. And then eventually I listened to him, and I left the band, but not in bad spirits. We still friends, and so that's that. People can still listen to the music. The music won't go away. It's still on streaming platforms, but we're not gigging anymore.
Yeah, the end of season. This is sad, but I mean, you did start painting then, the whole watercolor thing. You're good at this.
I did. I had an identity crisis in COVID, because I asked God, if I can't sing, I'm that girl that sings. I'm in university. Yeah. We sang a song from the Cranberries, Zombie. And for a whole year or two, when people saw me on the street, they said, oh, that's that zombie girl. I'm like, I have a name. But I think what you do becomes your identity if you can do it kind of well or something. So I was the girl that sang. So I think, God challenged me in that. And he said, well, if you can't sing, then who are you? And I'm like, Lord, you need to tell me, because I don't know anymore. If I can't sing, then I feel there's a part of me missing. And yeah, I journeyed with God. And at the end, he just said, Anik, you're my creative daughter. And I love you just like that, even if you can't sing. And I thought, okay, God, but your creative daughter needs income, because she can't sing now. So, and he asked me, what's in your hand? And I was scared he was going to turn the paintbrush into a snake because that's what happened the previous time he asked someone, what's in your hand? But no, I had a paintbrush and I was just painting for fun in COVID time to get, you know, to pass the time by. And he asked, what's in your hand? And I said, well, a paintbrush. And he said, well, use that. I'll use that. And I was like, how? And then all of a sudden, people were asking me to paint for them and paint for their kids and doing like prophetic pictures for what their kids' names mean. And yeah, so that, yeah, that was that story. So I could live off of the, yeah, the payment for the paintings for the whole COVID until we could do gigs again. So yeah, God's truly the provider and in ways that I couldn't even imagine. I didn't know I could paint, so yeah, that's
awesome. But you've got to love how God keeps moving directions. I mean, every time you think, okay, now I know where he's going, now suddenly it's music for children.
Exactly.
Which has to have its own story.
It does. It does. Well, in COVID time, God really catapulted me into worship music. And I got involved with Worship Awake, which at that time was Worship South Africa. And one of my friends, Stella, that started the initiative of doing worship online, she asked me, don't you want to do a set? I'm asking all my worship leader friends. And I'm like, I'm not a worship leader. And as I said that, I heard Holy Spirit say, who says that you're not my worship leader? I'm like, okay, I'll listen to what you want to say. And then I did a set. And yeah, I just, I fell in love with worshiping him again and making music that is for him and about him. So in COVID time, I also gave some music lessons, and actually the guy that sang with me in Kaleidoscope, he said his one friend needed some keyboard lessons, and I was like, okay, you can send her. And then very soon we started only drinking coffee instead of doing the lessons, and her husband still paid for the lessons. So I was like, yo, Lord, I hope this is not stealing. But yeah, I made a very good friend. And that was Lelani Brugman. And then she told me about when she got baptized, the Holy Spirit deposited some songs in her heart that she wrote for her children. And she said, because the world is speaking so many negative things and evil things about and to our children, she wanted to write something that comes from the Word, but that they could sing so that they can learn scripture and dance and just worship God, but in a way that a child likes to do it. And it spoke to my heart because I'm not married, I don't have any children, but I love children. I really adore them. So we started this project, and we took some songs of hers, and we went to Mighty Rivers Productions with Yati De Beer, and we said, come, let's do this thing. And we recorded 4 songs. So yeah, that was that.
And now you're getting the songs out, Viva Radio, Hallelujah, and all of that.
Yes.
But what we like is that it doesn't sound kiddies. I mean, that's the problem. You can't play kiddies music on this station. If you're lucky, there's a children's program somewhere and they can play it once, but it can't be on a playlist. Yes. And you need them singing the song. So I thought, whose idea was this then to arrange it in such a way that the parents can actually sing along and be convinced as well?
Yeah, so that was the brief that we took to Yati. We said, we want this to be kid-friendly, so children need to be entertained by it, but it shouldn't be irritating to listen to 20 times in a row when you're on the road and your child says, play that one again, play that one again, play that one again.
Which is reality,
Because they do that. I've seen it with my own 2 eyes. My brother has 2 kids. And when they like a song, they want to hear it the whole time. And if it's irritating, it's not nice for the parent. So that was the brief, to have something that kids would like, but that's palatable for a parent as well.
Okay, so we're going to play the song, but I want you to intro the song. You're going to tell me what is it that you want me to hear when I listen to the song? I mean, obviously there was something on your heart. What is it that you want me to get when I listen to it?
Yes, so Lelani says it so beautifully. She says, this is a song about who you are in Christ. This is your identity. You are loved, you are anointed, you are chosen. So that is Gesalfde Kind van God.
And if you want to follow the ministry, what's because obviously this is only the beginning of great things and all. Where do we go?
The Bible is nice and thick, so there will be many songs to come. We still have three lined up for this year only, and then also lullaby versions that you can put on when your child goes to sleep. We'll make it mellow and without any drums. So, nice. So that's also coming. But if people want to follow us, they can go on Instagram and Facebook. It's just Woord en Wysie, all written out. And yeah, that's it. It means scripture and melody, I think. The word and a melody.
Absolutely. And then when it's a lullaby, in the lullaby form, you're going to wash, they're actually going to get it while they sleep, which is also scriptural, being washed by the word in their sleep. That's so stunning. Oh, wow. Yeah. Go ahead and make our day. Please, never stop. We with kids, we're going to love using this stuff. We'll spread the word and everything. But first, let's have a taste. Here's Gesalfde Kind van God, and this is what it sounds like.